this morning. But it's feel warm in here this morning, right? Good morning, church.
Good
morning. Amen. Amen. Well, thank God this morning. As Jonathan was sharing earlier, we were privileged to take our things all yesterday for Christmas banquet, and we had fun yesterday. That's some of the pictures. Andrea, help us to the next slide, please. So we just want to share. Thank you, parents, for allowing your kids to come to fellowship. Yesterday was great, and we had a wonderful time. Amen?
Amen.
All right. And we had games, and some people won some gift cards. So they didn't just eat, but it came with gift cards also. Amen?
Amen?
All right, we continue with our series, grasping the meaning of the symbol of Christmas. And today we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 16. And before we do that, while you turn it into your Bible, let us just look to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, we thank you this morning. We give you the praise. We give you the honor. We thank you for bringing us together, Lord. And as we come to speak your word, Holy Spirit, you speak your word. Give us insight. Give us understanding, knowledge of your word. And we say, be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. I don't have the clicker yet. So, Andrea, can you just... So, we've been talking about, Pastor Gary spoke last week about the bread of Bethlehem. And that was one of our questions yesterday for our teens. And somebody got it. So, that means somebody was listening while Pastor was preaching last Sunday. Because we asked him, what is the meaning of Bethlehem? We see him, the house of bread. So, they got a $10 gift card yesterday for answering that question. So, we want to pray. Sorry, we said teens. and today we just want to look at another symbol of Christmas, the manger, the mystery of the manger. Now, when it comes to the manger, nobody wants to associate themselves with a manger, right? That means you have to be a farmer. And we're going to look at the mystery of the manger where our Lord and Savior Christ was born. So quickly, help me, let's go to the next slide. And for our youth, our blurb, which we have on YouTube, if you're watching it on YouTube, we said the manger is beyond all human understanding. The question is, why would God allow his son to enter the human race being born in the manger? No hospitals? But the Son of God born in a manger. So we're going to look into God's word and see why. And for our eternal truth, the manger depicts the way in which God does things. He does things, he does big things in small ways. Most often God works through the small and insignificant. And the results turn out to be real great. And when we go back in the book of Genesis, when God decided to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt, God went and called Moses. He said, Moses, go down to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh to... And the first excuse Pharaoh and Moses gave, said, Lord, I cannot speak. Moses was a nobody, but God used him. And when you come to the life of David... God chose David. After God told Samuel, he said, go down to the house of Jesse, for I have selected the next king of Israel. And Samuel went and asked of Jesse's sons. And most of his sons were fighting at a time against the Philistines. And he called his sons. They all came huge before Samuel. And when they came closer, and Samuel thought this could be one of the one that God has chosen. But for all of the sons that came, God told Samuel, he said, no, I have not chosen any of them. And Samuel asked Jesse, is there any more of your son? Is that all you have? And you know what he said? He said, oh, there's a shepherd, the one who's taking care of the sheep.
Yeah.
He said, oh, I got a last son, my little son, you know, handsome young man, but you know, he's just a little boy. But he said he's taking care of the sheep in the field. He's a shepherd. And Samuel said, get him. And the Bible said, immediately when David appeared, God told Samuel, he said, that's the next king of Israel. Now the shepherd who was nobody, God used him to be the next king. And David happens to be one of the greatest kings in the history of the Israelites. You know, I was privileged to go to Israel, and I was privileged to enter where David was buried. His tomb is still there. And we stood there. And he's one of the most respected person in the history of Israel. People go there, pay homage to him, and just thank God that God used him, because God said, with all the things David did, he said what? David was the man of his heart. Now, we're not talking about David today. We're not talking about Moses today. But we're talking about a manger. How the manger became a mystery. You know, last Friday, when we have our youth fellowship, our brief fellowship, I was asking the teens, and we were discussing about Christmas. So I asked the kids, the teens, I said, tell me, if Christ was to be born today, how would it be like? How was it going to be like? Think about it, considering everything that we have that were around us today, how would it look like? And some of them said, oh, he would be born in one of the best hospitals. And some of them said, oh, he would be born in New York because that's one of the beautiful places. And some said, oh, he's going to be born in L.A. And they have all sort of thoughts. They said, oh, in fact, before Jesus could even be given birth, it would be on social media, on Facebook. His picture would be on Facebook, on Instagram, on TikTok. Everything is going to be there. But just imagine if Christ was to be born today. We have the same experience as over 2,000 years ago. But let's look at, as we go into our message today, the manger. The mystery of the manger, what it is. But first thing we want to consider, before Christ came as this baby, there was prophecy made in the Old Testament. And that prophecy has to be fulfilled. The prophecies of in the Old Testament, the birthplace of the Messiah has to be fulfilled. The virgin birth has to be fulfilled. And God's divine plan shows God's sovereignty in history, even in the birth of Jesus Christ. Amen? So quickly, we're going to look at our first passage from the book of Luke. Help me, Andrea. Let's go to the next slide, please. The prophecies fulfilled in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. It says that the prophet first said, he said, but you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come from to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. So, God had a plan for mankind. God had a plan for his children. So, back in the Old Testament, that prophecies were made that Christ would be born in Bethlehem. God orchestrated that, right? And he said, that birth will have taken place to a virgin, Mary. And in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, that was also prophesied. It said, therefore the Lord himself will give you a son. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. God had a plan. God had a design. And he planned that so that it will happen for Christ to come. And we're not going to dwell on this because we want to look at why the manger is such a mystery. So we're going to go to our next point. As we look at the prophecies, we want to look at the divine plan of God working in the birth of Jesus Christ. In verse 2, chapter 2 of Luke, chapter 1, verse 2, 1 to 3, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place in Quirinius, while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city." Now, at this point in time, as we read in verse 3, the Israelite has to leave and go and register. Pastor Gary talked about that last Sunday, but I'm not going to dwell on that. But how, why it happened at this particular time? Why it happened? You see, there were things that God orchestrated in to make sure that Jesus' birth and the prophecies is fulfilled. Because if Mary and Joseph had not gone to Bethlehem, guess what? Christ wouldn't have been born. Then the prophecy wouldn't have been fulfilled. Right? Now, Mary from Nazareth, Joseph from Bethlehem, but they lived in Nazareth. And at that time, Mary was almost near giving birth. Now, from Nazareth to Bethlehem, when you walk, it's almost 2 hours walk. Now, when I was going through, it kind of reminds me, right? When Verna was pregnant for Kima and she about to give birth to Kima, and I was taking her to the hospital, and on her way, her water broke. I didn't know. And when we got to the hospital, I ran in to get a wheelchair and hurriedly got her. She got in a wheelchair, and we went in there. While in the process, she gave birth right in the sitting area. Right in the sitting area. While waiting for her to be taken to the delivery room. Right in the sitting area, and then all of the doctors can declare the entire area. All the doctors can start the work. In fact, it was just the grace of God because she was sitting and screaming, "My baby is coming." And immediately, there was an EMT guy sitting there. He just ran and grabbed Kima right in his hand. Right there, she was sitting in the wheelchair. So it kind of tells me that from our house, we drove, it's about 15, less than 15 minutes to, we were living in Pemberton. It's less than 15 minutes to a virtual hospital. And going through at that time, labor, pain, imagine Mary how to get on a donkey for 2 hours. Think about it. She didn't want to experience that while she's going through labor pain. She didn't want to leave and go. I guess Joseph didn't want to take his wife in that condition, walking for 2 hours from Galilee, from Nazareth to Bethlehem. It was hard for her. But guess what? Mary could not have given birth in Galilee, in Nazareth, because if she had, as we said earlier, God's plan will not be fulfilled. So in order for her to leave Galilee, they had to take a census. Quirinius, who was a powerful Roman leader, issued that decree that everyone should go to their birthplace, their hometown, to register for tax purposes. You know, he thought he was doing something good, but God was using as an instrument to fulfill what God has planned thousands of years ago. Because if that censor was not going to take place, there will be no Messiah. There will be no King of Kings. There will be no Lord of Lords. Then the church of Israel had to wait for another Messiah. But God used his sovereignty over his people and allowed Mary and Joseph to leave Nazareth to go down to Bethlehem. And as we read that in the verse, it said, help Andrea, let's go to the next slide. Oh, go back. We're not going there right now. As they went to Bethlehem, they said they got to the city. But what happened? There was nowhere. There was no room. Imagine the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God's Son. You know, when I was going, I said, why would God plan this and created no room, no accommodation for his son? Why? But God had a plan. God had a purpose. You know, sometimes in your life, there are things you don't want to do, but God allows you to do it because of his will want to be done in your life. You may not understand why God is doing such thing at a particular time, but he's doing it for his own purpose. He got a plan better than your plan. And that's why he did that. When it got to the inn, there was no room for the King of Kings. But guess what? There were pleasure in the inn for others. There were businesses going on in the inn. There were room for others. But the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior of the world, had no room. Matthew says, foxes have holes, birds have nests. For what? The Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. And where he entered, the Bible says he entered in the manger. And then look at the mystery of the manger. What kind of tells us? We'll go to the next slide. Thank you, Andrea. I kind of look at the manger as it kind of portrays poverty, right? Oh, you ain't agree with me? If you enter in a manger, you know, I was looking for the real picture when I went to Israel. We took picture in the manger. But it's kind of completely different now as compared to how it was before. So, yeah, in fact, they usually have a service in there right now when tourists go there to sit and have service. And so I took the picture. I'm like, okay, this is, if you show the, even if I showed the material, I said, this is the manger. I said, this is looking like a church house, daddy. Even though it's a cave was like, but in there they build pews and everything, people sit in there and they got light and everything. It doesn't look like the manger that it was when Christ was born. Right? It's completely different. But even if you went in there now, you won't believe there was a manger. But at the time Christ was born, when you enter in there, the smell of it alone will tell you it's a manger, right? The smell, you don't even have to enter, just pass by. Who been on a farm? Animal farm. At the time you get there, nobody have to tell you this is an animal farm, right? You will smell the animal scent. You will get to know, actually, this place smells like animals live there. So kind of imagine the Savior of the world lay in a manger. What does it tell us, the mystery? It tells us about the humble circumstances of Christ's birth. Hey, I don't know if I would have allowed my child, even if we don't have a manger, or to be born in. If I say, hey, who's going in there? No, we're going to stay outside. We're going to have the baby eye, but we're not going in there. No one would want to do it today. The first thing they say, oh, it's child abuse. If you don't have it, call social welfare. But guess what? There was no social welfare. There was no government support. There was none of the support we have today. None of that existed during those days. And worst of all, they were under a rule of the Roman authority. So you can't go to the Roman authority for any help. You have to pay. They don't care whether you don't have dime in your pocket. They don't care whether you don't have food on your table. They don't care what your status is. Once it's time for you to pay your tax, you got to pay it. Like Uncle Sam does, right? You don't have to say, oh, my paycheck is short this week, so let me. No, they're going to take it out of there. Whether you like it or not, Uncle Sam will take his. It's like the Romans days. And here, the birth of Jesus in the manger showed his humble. And not only that, but it symbolized God's accessibility. Andrea, let's go to our next point, please. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 6 to 7. It says, the humble circumstances of Christ. But it says, so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her first son and wrapped him in the swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger. Because why? There was no room for them in the inn. The time came and Mary had to give birth, but there was no room. And the Bible says she laid her baby. Imagine the Son of God being wrapped and lay where cattle sleeps, where cattle eat. It's a humble situation. It's humbly that God, the creator, the one who created us, come in the form of man to be born in an area that no one desired to even be around at a particular time in life. But God chose it. So how humble God is. How humble that Jesus Christ could have, hey, God could have orchestrated another means if he desired that Christ should be born in a hospital or in an inn, wherever best for Jesus to be born. God could have done that. But guess what? He came down to the rejected. He came down to those who were never considered anybody. He was born in a place that king, queens, nobles would never even pass around. But still, he's the King of Kings. And yet, he's still the Lord of Lords. That's the humbleness of God. And it says that Mary wrapped him in the swaddling cloth and laid him there. It shows how humble Christ is, that despite of his statue, despite of his deity as God, he didn't choose to be born as a noble person. He didn't choose to be born as a king, but he chose to be born as nobody. You know, sometimes, I don't know if I heard at my job, the folks were kind of talking about Beyonce, when Beyonce was about to give birth with her first child, right? And the hospital, they said, everything was, the whole floor kind of locked down because they don't want to know the sex of the child. They want to know everything. Imagine that. Men will conceive everything because they don't want nobody to know who is a child, whether it's a boy or a girl. They don't even want the picture to even slip out of the hospital. But here is our Lord and Savior. He didn't have any lockdown. He didn't have any security. He didn't have any of those things. He was born to a place that nobody even thought that a child could be. And as a matter of fact, in history, he's the only person that was born in a manger. No other child, no other baby, no one has ever in the history of our world was born in a manger. He's the only child. He's the only one who was born. That tells us that God loved us so much, as John says in 3 verse 16, says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave his only begotten son to be born in a situation that no one would desire to carry out in their own life. And it shows how humble Christ was even when he came to his birth. And not only that, even there was one thing is that it tells us that God shows his humility, demonstrates he becoming human. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 2, it says that For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root sprout out, as a root out of the dry ground. He has no form of comeliness, and when he sees him, when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. No one desired a baby born in a manger. No one cared about a baby born in a manger. No one think about a baby born in a manger. In fact, his parents were not people who were well known. His father was a carpenter. His mother was, you know, one of the questions we asked when Mary conceived with Joseph, she was a teenage girl, around 15, 16 years old. Oh, try this there. You go to court. You, not court, but you go to jail. Because why? She was a teenager. Young. Nobody knew her. Nobody knew her, Joseph. He was not of a status in the community. Nobody cared about them. But you see, God had a plan through this child that because of this child, we will have another opportunity to have a relationship with God. And it stopped there as we go to the Son of God, the promised Messiah, was born in a modest setting of a manger where animals were fed. The lowly place where our Savior was born. And this humble encounter showed the identity that Christ is now. It didn't show any proudness in God that he would allow his son to be born in such a condition. But it showed, even Paul described it in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, chapter 2, verse 6 to 8, he said, who be in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used as an advantage, right? God did not, Jesus did not consider himself equal to God. He considered himself as a servant. He considered himself as a common person. He didn't go around boasting, oh, I'm the creator of the universe. No, nobody recognized him. But that's the mystery of the manger, that the Savior came in the humble form. Can we be that humble in our lives to go down to the lowest esteem and do things that God is glorified? That's the place that the manger kind of said. And not only that, it shows about the accessibility of God. Andrea, help us go to the next slide, please. The humble circumstances show the accessibility of God. The next one. Jesus for the lowly. In Luke chapter 2, verse 7, it says, and she brought forth her first son. Her first son. I wouldn't want my first child to be born in that condition. Nobody, right? But God, Mary, they had no option. Because why? That's how God planned it to come forth. They had no control. Mary would not even want to have leave from Nazareth to come to Bethlehem. But it was planned by God. That her first child, the Son of God, would be born in the manger. And it shows that because Christ was born in the manger, in the stable where animals slept and sleep and eat feed, guess what? He shows that even the loaded, even the common have access to him. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a priest. You don't have to be a president. You don't have to be a king of, no, you can be the loaded. Because guess what? Who he visited? He visited the angels, went to the shepherd in the field. Those are the first group that he spoke to. He didn't go to the synagogue to talk to the priest. He didn't go to the Pharisees. He didn't go to the Sadducees. He didn't go to the temple to announce that, oh, the Son of God is going to be born. No, he went to the lowest people, the shepherd, and he spoke to them. The angels appeared to them and told them about the birth of the Savior. That means if God can go down to the, you, me, we all have access to God. regardless of who you are, regardless of your status, regardless of your background, no matter who you are, you have access to God.
Amen.
You don't have to be of a status or reputation or dignitaries. No. You can have access to God just as you are.
Amen.
Luke chapter 2, verse 20 says, "And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in a swaddling cloth laying in a manger." The shepherd, you know, we're talking, said, how did the shepherd even manage to find this manger? This ain't where they found a baby. We don't know, but guess what? Because God planned it, God may have led them directly to where Christ was born. That's the work of God. And it shows that God does little things. He does great things, rather, in the simplest, in the common way that you and I would never comprehend. God is not looking for a big scene to create and make a big scene out of a big issue. No. When you don't expect, that's when God does the greater things in your life and in our life. And he did that through the life of Christ when he was born. And that gives us the opportunity that if Christ can come down to the shepherd, who he cannot come down to? He can come down to each and every one of us, except us, just as we are.
Amen?
Amen? Andrea, help us. Let's go to the next slide, please. And that's an invitation. It's in Luke chapter 10, 11. It says, "Then the angel said to him, do not be afraid to them. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." The great joy to all people. Christ didn't just came to the shepherd, and the news was not only for the shepherd. The news, the joy that the coming of Christ was to all men. Whether you an accountant, whether you're a doctor, whether you're a custodian, whether you're a teacher, no matter your class, that joy was for everyone. And that's it gave us the opportunity to see how great God is. Isaiah 55 verse 1 says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy, and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk with our money and with our price." God created the opportunity. No matter your circumstances, you can come to him just as you are. You can. His arms are open wide to accept you. He said, "Come, come." He doesn't care what your situation is. What he cares is that he wants you to come unto him. And that's the opportunity that he created. He set the bar so low that no one can get it. He said, "Oh, my situation is so bad. I don't think God is going to accept me." No. He accepts your situation no matter how it is. You know, when you go into get stuff, you want to purchase a car or something, maybe the first thing to look at your credit, right? If you get a good credit, then you get a good deal, right? Hey, listen. If you go to God, if you get a bad credit, you got a great deal.
Amen.
He doesn't care how things are in your life. He doesn't care about that. He doesn't care how you are low. He cares about getting you where he wants you to be. And he did that through his son, Jesus Christ. Andrea, help us to the next slide, please. We want to look at the purpose of the manger as we wind up. First of all, the mystery tells us about the humbleness of Christ, the humility, how Christ, how humble he was to be born in that situation. And because of that, it creates the opportunity that we have access to God. He's accessible to everyone. Every tribe, every nation, everyone that is on the that exists upon the earth, he's accessible to them. So why? The purpose of manger, church, is a sign of salvation. Christ came to redeem mankind. He said, I did not come to seek that which was not lost, but those who were lost. He said, who goes to visit a doctor when you are not sick? No. Only the sick goes to see the doctor. And he come for those who have no hope. He came for his own. His coming is to create an opportunity so that we can have a newness of life. And not only that, it reminds us about God's love. The manger reminds us about God's love. That God will come in the form of man and be born as a child in a manger. It shows how much he loves us. It shows how much he cares that he will do the least that no one expects to have been done. Or expected to have been done. But he did such. And not only that, church, he came as a nourishment to all humanity. Remember Pastor Gary preached last week that he's the bread of life. When you have that bread of life, you don't need no other bread, spiritual bread. He's that spiritual bread. You may have the physical, but he's that spiritual bread that we need. And in order for us to grow spiritually, we need to thank God for the manger, because it provides us, he being the bread of life, provides us a spiritual nourishment that we can grow through his word. We can grow as his children. We can grow knowing that our Lord and our God and our Savior cares and loves us each and every moment of our lives. And not only that, the manger is a symbol of hope. The world, we were without hope. Mankind was without hope. There was no hope because mankind, from the day in the Garden of Eden, sinned against God. But his coming now gives us hope. And that hope, it tells us now that we now have a direct relationship with God. That God has accepted us. And all we need to do is what? Accept the invitation. And allow God to come into our life. Allow Jesus to come into our life. Allow the Holy Spirit to come into our life. And believe that because he was born, not for himself, not for his glory, but for the glory of God, so that he can bring his own to him. He loved us so dearly that he would do such a great thing in the life of us. That he will humble himself. He will be born in a place that no one desires, no one expects. But that's the symbol of hope. We once who didn't have hope, now we have hope through the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Andrea, help us last slide as we close. So what do we do? Embrace Christ. Embrace his birth. Embrace his humanity. Embrace his love. Embrace his sacrifice. For the scripture says, greater love hath no man than for a man to what? Lay down his life. He just didn't come and walk and people follow him but he came as a servant. And that tells us that if we want great things to happen, we got to be humble just as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was humble, even unto death. He was humble from in the manger, and he was humble even unto the cross. He could have used his power as the creator. Because the Bible says in John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the what? The Word. And the Word was what? With God. And the Word was what? Was God. And apart from him, there was what? Nothing made. That was made. So imagine the creator, God himself, came down. He had power to do anything that he desired to do. But he put all behind him and came with humility, with humbleness, with a heart willing to serve, willing to bring others to him. He didn't go to the temple, to the synagogue or the temple, and said, where is the high priest? Where is the Pharisees? And you guys will follow me to go to. In fact, they were even against him. Even when Herod heard about this baby that was born, Herod planned to kill this baby.
Yeah.
Why would you want to kill a baby that is born in a manger? Why would you want to kill a baby that no one cares about? Why would you want to kill a child that was born in a place that nobody desired? But because behind that child was the power of God to redeem mankind and bring mankind back to God. You know, Herod was thinking about the earthly reign, right? But Christ was not thinking about the earthly reign. Christ, God's plan was not for this earth. He created this earth. If he was going to be king, he could have established his kingdom right here on earth, his throne right. But no! He said, my kingdom is not of this world. And as king and as Lord of lords, yet he still humbled himself. And that's why we can learn. We can embrace Christ. We can embrace his humility. We can embrace his love for us. And we can embrace his sacrifice. And when we think about the manger, now we understand that God was humble to be born in a place that animals slept. God was humble. God created an opportunity that we can be accessible, that he can be accessible to us. That we can meet him just as we are, how we are. Come to him. He doesn't care. He wants all of us. He's not sitting on a huge throne. You don't have to make an appointment. You don't have to call and say, oh, your appointment is 6 months from now. No. He makes it accessible that right there you can just call, just get on your knees, just say, Lord, here am I. And he's willing to accept you just as you are. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that you are great and your word is powerful. Help us, oh God, even as we celebrate your birth. Let us know that, Lord, the manger is just not a place, but it's a place where there is hope. It's a place, oh God, where there is humility. It's a place where there we have access to you, oh God, through your birth. Thank you for your birth. Thank you for your love. Thank you, oh God, that you create the opportunity that we can have access to you through your birth and through your humbleness. We just give you the praise. And help us, oh God. The only way we can have access to you is to accept you as our Lord and Savior. And the only way we can experience that hope that you bring is to accept you as our Lord and Savior. And if it's someone here this morning who doesn't know you, Lord, they don't have that access right now. Until they get surrendered to you, they will be able to have access to your throne, to your kingdom. We just thank you, Lord, that you will just speak to their hearts and get to know that you created an opportunity to come and get to know you personally and to experience your birth and to experience the joy that you bring and experience the peace that you give us through your birth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
coming.
For our last hymn, we will have What Child Is This? Will you please rise and we will sing it together?
Acapella.
I guess we'll be singing a cappella.
What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthem sweet, well shepherds watch our keeping. This is Christ the King, who shepherds God and angels sing. Haste to bring in Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary.
It tells us that God came as man and humbled himself. Yes. And not only that, it tells us that we have access to God. And he came for us, for you and I. And that's the opportunity we now have.
Amen.
And we can go and celebrate that the manger is just not a place where animal slept or was fed, but also a meaningful thing in the life of, for us as Christians, because that's where our Lord, our King, our Savior brought us hope, brought us freedom, brought us new life in a manger. And we can go celebrating Jesus Christ, celebrating God, that he came down as a nobody and bring us hope. And that's why we can hold on to and thank God for that. As we celebrate going forward this week, let us trust God and continue to be a praise unto him, because it's because of him we are who we are today.
Amen.
And without him, we wouldn't be here.
That's right.
We won't be celebrating Christmas. We won't be celebrating having a celebration. But it's because of the manger that we have our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that can only happen if you know him as Lord and Lord and as Savior of your life. And he's accessible. If you don't know him, the opportunity is now. And you can just surrender to him. You can see any one of us, Pastor Gary, myself, and all the deacons, and we can pray along with you. And he says, it's not his will that all should perish, right? But should come unto him. And his arms are open wide, willing to accept us just as we are. If he appears to the shepherd, that tells us that he can appear to us. He's willing to accept us. Pastor Gary, we pray in.
Remind everyone, if we have a brief business meeting, so if you're part of our congregation, you can just stay. It's not going to be very long, like 10 minutes. We'll just describe our roof situation. But we're going to close with a word of prayer. And we are so thankful for any one of you. By the way, if anyone was a visitor today, just encourage you to meet us in that conference room as you go out. We have a little gift to remember your visit with us and just to bless you. Let's just pray.
Amen.
Father God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, dear God, that you condescended, Lord. You came down as the King of the universe to save the souls of the lowest of the low, of the most sinful of all the people, Lord, that they might find hope, that they might find life, and that they might find peace. I pray, Father, that you would just touch anyone's heart, Lord, that's here, that doesn't really have that relationship with you through Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that this would be the season, Lord, that they would truly meet the Savior, the babe in the manger, that's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I pray these things now in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen.